Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Pei. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a mivneh, a structural note, where you see a double underline, and they represent Memros Shel Rava. These are comments made of Rava, and under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written Tziruf Chatzoi Shiur Behotzah, where we're going to be interested in combining partial quantities with regard to the Isser of Hotzah, the Isser of transferring something from one domain to another. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, just a word of review. The Malach of Hoitzah involves picking something up, that's called an Akira, from one domain, and then placing it down, that's called Hanocha, in a second domain. That's Hoitzah. There's also a concept of Hoitzah of Arba Amos Berushos Arabim, where one picks something up from at one point in a public thoroughfare, moves it 4 Amos or more further on, and then puts it down, that too is a transgression of the Isser of Hoitzah. It's called Motzi Arba Amos Brishus Arabim. We turn to the Gemara, and we're continuing within the realm of ink, as we started this at the end of our previous year. Fourth line from the top, Omar Rava, Hotzi Shtei Osios, V'kosvan Kishu Mahalech. A person carried out 2 letters worth of ink, let's say at the tip of a quill, and he wrote them on a piece of paper as he is in movement. Chayov, he is considered culpable, he is guilty of a hanocha. And you'll ask, why is that? Is he not moving? And hanocha means to place something down in a state of non-movement. So the Gemara explains, k'sivosan zuhi hanochosan. If you focus on the ink and the letters, so the writing of the letters on the paper, the letters are no longer in movement. They've been written on the paper, and that's their hanocha. So that even though the person is moving along with it, nevertheless, the letters have achieved their hanocha by having been written on the paper. V'omar Rava, Hotzi Ois Achas V'kosva. Person carried out 1 letter's worth of ink and wrote it. So that means he went from a private domain and went into a public domain, and there he wrote 1 letter. The malach of ksiva of Shabbos, of writing letters, of writing in general, is a minimum of 2 letters. So he wrote 1 letter, and then v'chozar v'hotzi os achas v'kosva, and then he went back indoors and carried out another 1 letter quantity of ink and wrote it. Potter, he is exempt. My taima, why is there exemption? When you look at the general picture, here's a person that carried out, after all said and done, he carried out 2 letters worth of ink and wrote them in the public domain. So why is he exempt? Answer, v'idna da'afka l'basraisa, when he carried out the basraisa, means the last one, or in this case the second one, chosar le l'shi'ura de'komaisa. The first letter quantity is not considered something we have to deal with. It is considered reduced or non-existent in this case. Let's take a look at the Rashi. when we said v'chozar v'hotzi, Rashi says behelam echod, it was in one state of lack of awareness. That's an important point, because when you have one state of lack of awareness, there is a chance that the two partial quantities, in this case the two single letters, might join up. Nevertheless, they don't. Choser shiro de komaisa, Rashi says, when the first letter in the ink, that is, dried up, nechsar hashi'ur, there is a reduction of the quantity. After all, the halochor, the isur here, is carrying out ink that contains enough ink with which to write two letters. So when the second ink's worth of letter was carried out, the first one had dried up. The ulechi gomra hotzah deboinon l'srufa, and when the hotzah is completed, at which point we would need to join up the second letter with the first letter, ein kan shiur shnei osios. When he's carrying out that second letter, he's not carrying out two letters worth of ink, and therefore he is, in this case, he is exempt. The Omar Rovo, Hotzi Chatzi Grogeris Achas V'nicha. If a person carried outside a half, a dried fig quantity of food, as we have seen in the past, the quantity of food with regard to Meleches Shabbos is the quantity of a dried fig. Here he carried out a half dried fig quantity of food, placed it down in the other domain, in this case, if he's going from a house to a public thoroughfare, so he placed it down in the public thoroughfare, and then he went ahead and carried out another half fig quantity of food and placed it down. Rishona nase kemisha kolto kelev oy shenisrafa upoter. The first half is viewed as if it's been caught by a dog or burnt, and therefore it's non-existent when he carries out the second half-dried fig quantity. Ve'amai, you'll ask, why? Ha'amoncha, but it's lying there. The first half, the first chatzi grogeris is there. Why don't they join up? Hochi ka'omar, rather, thusly, Rava is meant to say, the imkidam vehigbia rishona koidim hanochas shnia, if before he placed down the second half chatzi grogeris of food, he had picked up the first chatzi grogeris, then nasis rishona kami sheniklita shekolta kelev o shenisrafa upater. Then the first half is considered as if it's been caught by a dog or has been burnt. Once again, and that's because the first half fig quantity is not at a state of hanocha anymore. But had it still been lying there when you brought out the second chatzi grogeris, they would join up to create a full quantity, a full grogeris of food matter, and he would be in fact guilty. The Omar Rava, Hotzi Chatzi Grogeris V'nicha, a person carried out a half dried fig quantity of food, placed it down, V'chozer V'hotzi Chatzi Grogeris, and then he carried out another second half quantity, V'evira Derech Oleha Chayav. And as he carried out the second Chatzi Grogeris, he carried it over the first half Grogeris that was lying on the floor. The fact that he carried it over it makes him chayav, makes him guilty. V'amai, why is he guilty? Ha lo noch, but it didn't come to a state of rest or a state of stopping. The Gemara answers, kagoin shevira toich shlosha, when he was carrying the second chatzi grogeris over it, he carried it within three tfachim, within three handbreadths of the first one. In other words, the elevation was limited. It was within three handbreadths. The Gemara asks, so what? V'ha'omar Rava, toch shloisho l'rabonan, tzorach hanocho al gabi mashihu. that even if you're within three tfachim of the ground, it still needs to come to stopping on something. Even it's a mashu, even if the surface area of whatever it comes to stop on is negligible in area. So you have here a requirement of it coming to a state of hanoch, of stopping. So why is it that Rava is teaching us that as long as carried over the first half grogeris, there is enough reason for culpability? Lo kashya. There is no kashya, no problem here. Kan bezorek, kan bema'avir. One halacha deals with one who throws something. If one tosses something, throws something, then we have the halacha that the second half quantity would have to come to rest. However, if he was carrying over it, ma'avir, it doesn't have to come to rest. It's sufficient that it is within three tfachim, three hand breaths of the first half quantity to create culpability. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. You can see it's in a frame and it lasts four lines. Hotzi Chatzi Grogeris. Person carried out a half quantity of food. V'chozer v'hotzi chatzi grogeris. And then he carried out another half quantity of food. Behelem echot chayav. If the two half quantities were in one state of helem, of lack of awareness, he didn't become aware that he had done anything wrong or problematic between the first half and second half, so they would join up, and he's chayav. B'shtei halomos poter. If after carrying out the first chatzi grogeris, he became aware that today was Shabbos, and that he had done something problematic, even if it's not chayav as far as Misas Beis Din is concerned, but nevertheless it is problematic, then he would be exempt, being that he had a state of awareness between the two half quantities. Rabbi Yossi Omer Behelem Echod L'Rishus Echod Chayov. Rabbi Yossi is, we'll say, more lenient. He says that the fact that it's Helem Echod enables the two half quantities to join if the two half quantities were brought to the Rishus Echod, to the same domain, the same area, then Chayov, L'shtei Rishuyos Potter. If he carried out two half quantities, but to two separate Rishus Harabims, to two separate thoroughfares, they weren't brought to the same thoroughfare, he would be potter, he would be exempt. What do we mean by shtei rishuyos being exempt? Omar Rabba, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll see three opinions as to what constitutes a separation between the two Rishus HaRabims that we just made reference to, resulting in exemption. So Rabba says, V'hu shiyesh chiv chatos b'nehem, avol karmelis loy. The expression chiv chatos is, in our context, a reference to a private domain, a Rishus HaYochid, that would involve a Rishus HaYochid sitting between two public thoroughfares. So he carried out a half quantity and placed it in the first public thoroughfare, and then, without becoming aware in the interim that today was Shabbos, let us say, he went and carried a second half quantity into the other street. But between the two streets there is a fenced in private area that would create exemption. Why is a totally private area called a chiyuv chatos? Because only in a true Rishus HaYochid, a true private domain, would one become guilty of a chiyuv chatos, of bringing a sacrifice in the event he carried something in a state of lack of awareness, only if he carried from a house to a public thoroughfare, or from a public thoroughfare to a house, or to an enclosed yard, an enclosed area. That's why it's called a chiyuv chatos. A karmelis is a is a rabbinic realm. In other words, it's an area that's not a Rishus HaYochid, nor is it a Rishus HaRabim. So that if, let us say, you had two public thoroughfares, two streets, and between them was a strip of grass with trees growing on it. So that strip of grass that would, let's say, separate between the two roads or the two streets, it's called a median strip. That's not a Rishus HaYochid. It's not a fenced-in area, nor is it a Rishus HaRabim. The masses don't walk or ride on the median strip. That's a Carmelis. So that if he, according to Rabbah, if he carried out a half quantity onto one side of the highway and a second half quantity to the other side of the highway with a Carmelis between the two, that does not create a division, and therefore he would be chayav. The two half quantities would join up. Abaye, a second opinion, Omar Filu Carmelis, even if a Carmelis is between the two roads, that would be considered a divide, and the two half quantities would not join up. Avo pisla lo. A pisla, you can imagine, is something like a log, a large log between the two roads. That would not constitute a division, and the two half quantities would join up. The Rova Omar Afilu Pisla. Rova says even a long log between the two lanes or the two roads would be a divider. The Ozda Rova Latame, Rova in considering a log of significance is consistent with what he said elsewhere. The Omar Rova Rishus Shabbos ki Rishus Gittin Damyo. The way we approach domains on Shabbos is similar to the way we approach domains with regard to divorces. What do we mean by with regard to divorces? So Rashi gives the background, and the easiest way to learn this is simply by glancing at the Rashi. Before we learn the text of the Rashi, Rashi provides a diagram where you have on this diagram two houses. From each house, he is going to carry out a half quantity into the adjacent Rishus HaRabim, which is abbreviated Resh Hey Resh, Rishus HaRabim. So from the top house to its adjacent Rishus HaRabim is a half quantity, and from the bottom house to its adjacent Rishus HaRabim is a half quantity. Do the two halves join up to create a whole and hence guilt? So we saw three opinions as to what divides the two Rishus HaRabims. There's a Rishus HaYochid, or a Carmelis, or a Pisla. And the most lenient opinion, which when we say lenient, it would mean the opinion that prevents joining up in most cases is that of Rava, where even if a Pisla was between these two Rishus HaRabims, the two half quantities carried out to each Rishus HaRabim respectively would not join up. Now the question is, what does it mean, Kirishus Gittin Dami? So Rashi says, the Indian Gittin Pisla Rishus L'Nafshehu. Regarding divorces, a log could be considered a separate domain. Kedamon Bazorek, as it says in Perek HaZorek in Maseches Gittin, Hahu Gavra Dezorah Gito Litvisu, a man threw a divorce document to his wife, Bechatsero, and she was standing in his courtyard. Egander Gito V'nofal B'pisla, the get rolled and landed on a log. Fa'uki Hasam, and the Gemara in Masechet Gittin establishes or sets it up, she issue lo mokoim b'chatzero, chad mok, so he loaned to her, afterwards his domain, and the rule of Gittin states that in order for a woman to be divorced, the divorce document must leave his domain and enter her domain. So the Gemara explains there that he loaned her a spot, he loaned her a domain. And we say as follows, and he loaned her, what the Rashi says, based on the Gemara, she shulol mokoyim b'chatzer, he loaned her a spot in his chatzer, so that when he throws the get and it lands in his chatzer, the area that it landed in would be considered the area he loaned to her. However, we say chad moko moshli inshi trei mekoymis lo moshli inshi. A person, when he loans something to someone else, in this case the man loaned it to his wife about to be divorced, he loans to her one area, not two areas. And in this case, the log would represent a second area. We see, therefore, that if the divorce document, after his loaning to her an area in his chotzer, and if it lands on a log, she's not considered divorced because it didn't land in the domain he loaned to her. He loaned to her chotzer, not log. So we see that in the realm of Gittin, a log has its own identity. So too with regard to Shabbos, it has its own identity according to Rava, and it serves as a divide between the two Rishus HaRabims, hence the two Chatzi Grogerises will not join up. We continue in the Gemara, and we have a topic heading in Osei on the side, Shi'urei Hoitzah. We're dealing with quantities of Hoitzah, of carrying things out, transferring domain, with regard to Kochel, Devek, Shaiva, and Charosis. Kochel is an eye type application, an eye cosmetic, if you will. Devek is glue, Shaiva is wax, and Charosis is a shard, piece of clay. The Gemara. Kochel kidei likol ayin achas. The amount of kochel, which we said was a type of eye cosmetic, the amount to apply to one eye, that small amount would result in a chiyuv Shabbos, a Shabbos guilt. Ayin achas, all lo kachli. Why would the Mishnah say that for one eye, one would carry guilt? After all, people don't apply a cosmetic to just one eye. It's too little. Omar Rav Huna, shekein tsnuos kochlos ayin achas. Rav Huna says, in fact, women that are very modest, and hence they walked in a wrapped fashion, cloaked fashion, whereby their faces are essentially wrapped, leaving only one eye exposed to see where they're going. So that one eye, in fact, they will apply a cosmetic, the kochel, to. Gemara asks Meisvei. Rabbi Shimon, Meisvei is a kasha. We raise a question from the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Shimon Elozer Omer, kochel, the kochel substance, im refua, if he's carrying it out for its medical benefits, kedei lekol ayin achas, then even if he carries out enough to remedy one eye, that would have significance and he would be guilty. Im lekashet, if he's carrying out the kochel for cosmetic purposes, b'shnei, then it's b'vishnei inayim. It's the amount to apply to two eyes. So we've dashed underlined the kashe b'shnei enayim. That's a kasha. That's a problem for our Mishnah. And Rav Huna's explanation. The Mishnah said enough to apply to one eye, and Rav Huna said that the tsnuos adorn or apply to one eye. Here you see that when it comes to adornment, the minimum is the amount for two eyes. The Gemara answers, Tirgumo Hillel Brei de Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kitanyo Hahu, when that source is taught, namely two eyes, that's the Ironius. The word Ironius is explained as Bnei Kforim, Benos Kforim. These are the source is dealing with women that live in small villages where the level of promiscuity is much less, hence they actually will expose two eyes. And that is the reason for the shi'ur, the quantity being one of enough for both eyes, and one eye would not carry with it guilt, because in that kind of locale, they wouldn't adorn less than two eyes. The Gemara continues, Devek Kedei Litein Barosh HaShafshaf. The amount of glue that would result in Shabbos guilt is the amount that one would place on the top of a shafshaf. Tona, the Gemara elaborates a bit. Kedei Litein Barosh Shafshaf Shebarosh Koneshil Tzayodin. It would be enough glue to place on the edge of a perch that's at the end of a kona, is a literally a reed or a pole of tzayodin, of hunters' poles. What the practice was, if you wanted to catch birds, you would set up a pole with a perch at the end of it, and on the end on the edge of the perch, you would apply a layer of glue, and the bird, when landing on this perch, would get stuck, and the trapsman would have his bird. So that amount of devik, of glue, enough to apply to the perch, will result in a chiyuv hoitzah on Shabbos. Zephis v'gofris, kidei lasos v'chulei. The pitch and the sulfur, enough to make, and we have a source that says, tona kidei lasos negev koton, enough to make a small hole. The Gemara continues, Charosis kidei lasos pi kur, and the Mishnah went on to say pi kur shel tzorfei zohav. Rabbi Omer kidei lasos pitput. The pitput is a little leg that onto which you would place an oven. So the Gemara asks lemeimra d'shiur de Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Are you suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda's shiur, his quantity, is greater? In other words, when you look at the Mishnah and you see, according to the first opinion, it's enough to make a p-kur, the little opening to the kur, and Rabbi Yehuda's shear is to make a leg for the kur, it would come out that Rabbi Yehuda is giving you a larger amount, and that for a lesser amount, one would not be chayav. So, lemeimra the shiur the Rabbi Yehuda nafish, are we suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda's quantity is greater than that of the Tanna Kamma? The hal kaimel shiur the Rabbanan nafish, we hold that the shiur of the Rabbanan of the Tanna Kamma is greater in amount. This non Rabbi Yehuda omer, kedei litol heimenu midas minol lekoton. We have seen in a previous Mishnah that when you're looking at the shiur of rope, enough to make a measure for a small shoe, and that amount was less than the amount that the Rabbanan gave for the same thing. So we see that in the area of these shiurim of quantities, Rabbi Yehuda, generally speaking, is the smaller shiur. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Not enough to make the leg for the oven, but enough to fill in cracks on a leg of a kiro ketan, of a small oven. So it's a very small, we're dealing here with a very small amount of the substance, enough to fill in the cracks. The cracks of that leg, so that the Rabbanan and their shiur of Lasis P. Kur is greater than Rabbi Yehuda's shiur of filling in the cracks of the pitput of the leg. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamotzi Seor, one who carries out hair. Kidei legabel voi eshatit, enough hair to make clay. Hair was one of the raw materials in the manufacture of tit, of clay. So, tit, how much tit would be mechayev someone for hoitzah on Shabbos? Would one be guilty if he carries out clay? Lasos pi kur shel tzorfei zohav. enough for making a hole in a gold refiner's pot. Sid, kidei lo sud. Sid is lime, and we'll see now a different. We'll see a discussion concerning the shiur hoitzah sid, which is used as a depilatory, a remover of hair, of undesired hair. Tona kidei lo sud etzba ketana shebebonos. Rashi says here etzba ketana. Darkon losud es kol haguf lahadim. It was the custom of girls to apply sid to their entire bodies for creating a ruddy complexion. So the amount of sid enough to cover a small finger. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, benos Yisrael shigiu lepirkon velo higiu lishonim. Girls who showed signs of puberty before their before the expected age. Rashi says, "Shigiu pirkon velo higiu sheviu shtei sirus." They produced pubic hairs, the two pubic hairs velo bo lechal shonim, but they are under 12 years of age. Horuyos lekach umizbaishos b'davar at the. There is a certain age where the hairs are expected. That's ru'uyos lekach. But here it came out before that time, and they are embarrassed. So the Gemara is addressing that situation, and here we're dealing with the removal of those hairs. So we've underlined three categories of women. Benosaniyim, girls that are from impoverished families. Toflos, oison besid. Toflos is the removal of the hairs. Through applying to it sid. So they would smear the hairs with this material, this lime. Benos Ashirim, girls of from families of means, toflos oson besoles. Applying to it flour would have this effect of hair removal. Benos Melochim, toflos oson beshemen hamor. The girls from the houses of kings, in other words, princesses, would do the same, would achieve the same goal by using the oil of myrrh. Shenemar, the pasuk in Esther, in the Megillus Esther, where it was, where it's described how the women would prepare themselves with all kinds of cosmetic treatments before approaching the king, it says shishu chadoshim b'shemen hamor. They would be exposed for 6 months to this shemen hamor application. My shemen hamor. What is shemen hamor? Rav Una bar Chiya Omar satkis. It was shemen hamor is known as satkis. Rav Yirmiya bar Abba Omar shemen zay shelo hevio shlish. It's oil from olives that have not developed a third in their growth. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, an piknon is shemen zay shelo hevio shlish. An piknon is that very same type of oil, oil from olives that did not develop a third. Veloma sochen oso, why would one apply or smear this? Shemashir es aseor umaadein habosar, it would remove hair and give a complexion to the flesh, to the skin. Rav Bevai Havilei Bardo. Rav Bevai had a daughter. Toflo Aver. He applied the depilatory to her limb by limb. Shokal Bo Arba Mea Zuzi. And she became so beautiful that people that wanted to marry her were willing to pay this amount of money. 400 zuz. Havehu nochri b'shivuse. There was a Gentile in Rav Bevai's neighborhood. Havia le barta, and he had a daughter. Tofla b'chad zimna umesa. He applied the depilatory to her in one shot, and she died. Omar and the Gentile created a libel, a blood libel. Kotal Rav Bevai Labarti, claiming that Rav Bevai killed his daughter. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman explains, Rav Bevai de Shossi Shichra, Rav Bevai, who was a beer drinker, Bayon Binsei Tifla, his daughters required the depilatory. The Tifla is the smearing on of the hair removal substance. Anant lo shasinon shichra lo bayan binson tiflo. We who are not beer drinkers, so our daughters don't require this treatment. Rabbi Omer kidei losud kilkul. In dealing with the shiur, the quantity of sid that results in a chiyuv hoitzah, so Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah said the enough to apply to a kilkul. And Rabbi Nechemia Omer kidei losud undefi. The Gemara asks, my kilkul umai indafi, what are these things? Omar Rav. Now, before we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice on the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we feature a diamond. And we will see here, Pirush kilkul v'indafi de masnisin. We will attempt to explain these words, kilkul and indafi. And we've noted, arba hesberim le'undafi, the Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia in the Mishnah used the term undafi, will have four explanations for that. And that's what the diamonds represent. So as we go on in the Gemara, Rav explains tzida ubas tzida. The kilkul is the tzida. Tzida is the temple. And Rashi says that the material, the sid, was applied to the tzidah, to the temple, to cause the hair to lie flat. Rashi says, lahashkiv haseor. The bas tzidah is underneath that, on the face, in other words, the underneath the temple, as you're going down onto the upper part of the cheek, and the application there was to remove unwanted hairs. Sometimes it would be sometimes the term peach fuzz is used. This is fine hairs, and that's what andifi was. The Gemara continues, Lameimra de Shiura de Rebuta Nafish. In this presentation, Rebuta mentions the amount of sid for the kilkul, and according to our explanation, makes it such that Rabbi Yehuda's shiur, his amount is greater, and but ha kaimalod the shiur the rabbonan nafish. But we know that Rabbi Yehuda is the lesser amount. The rabbonan it gives a greater shiur. So in this presentation, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda, who says kilkul, is greater than andefi. The Gemara answers zuta mid rabbonan v'nafish mid Rabbi Nechemia. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda's shiur is less than the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan spoke about the amount of sid for etzba ketana. So Rabbi Yehuda is lesser than that. Zuta is lesser than the Rabbanan. However, Nofish mid Rabbi Nechemia, he is giving a greater shiur than that of Rabbi Nechemia. We continue in the Gemara with questions. You'll see we have a double underline, and the double underline represents questions as they come. Meisvei. Omar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yehuda B'chavut, V'Divrei Rebbe Nechemia B'Bitzas Hagir. Rebbe says that I would accept Rebbe Yehuda's approach. And Rebbe Yehuda had mentioned, we saw Kilkul, with regard to Chavut. Chavut, Rashi explains, Sid Hanimoch B'mayim Harbe, Dehu Osu L'Sid Kilkul. It's sid, lime, that is dissolved using a lot of water. And Rabbi Nechemia, his shiur, if you were dealing with bitzas hagir, Rashi says regarding that, the divrei Nechem bitzas hagir, or he has Rashi has a gir, so bitzas hasid, hanigval b'mayim v'osu bitzim bitzim, u'osu losud andifi. It would seem to be a thicker thicker quality of seed. So the Gemara continues, V'isalka daitoch tzida ubas tzida. If one were to accept Rav's explanation of Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Nechemia, as referring to the, Rebbe Yehuda was referring to the temple, and Rebbe Nechemia, the area just underneath that. Well, if that's the pshat, the explanation, Edi v'Edi b'chavut, then both Kilkel and Andifi would be treated with chavut. As we saw in Rashi, chavut is the loose seed water mixture. So we have to therefore come up with a new explanation for Andifi. Granted that chavut is used for the the flattening of hair, but as far as what is meant by Rabbi Nechemya's Andifi, it can't be what Rav said, because Rav's explanation of Bas Tzedah, the area underneath the temple, one would have used Chovut for that and not Bitzas Hagir. Elo, the Gemara continues, Elo Omar Rav Yitzchok, Amri Debei Rabbi Ami, it's said in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Ami, Andifa. Rashi says, Andifa. In other words, what we're doing here is we're giving a second explanation for Rabbi Nechemya. Rashi says, Andifa, Kli Cheres, Velo Shnei Dodim. It's a clay receptacle that has two spigots to it. Achas Lamalo, the Achas Lamata, one higher up and one lower down. Kshiroitse Lamaloso, when he wants to fill up this jug. So same as Hadod Hatachton. He seals the lower spigot. The Loshon Andifi, the word Andifi, Shte Pios, indicates two mouths, two holes, or in this case, two spigots. So we can go back to the Gemara, and we raise a question. Actually, just before we go on, let's just review. Rabbi Ami says that the Andifa is the amount of sid used for making, for sealing that lower the lower hole on the jug. Maskif la Rav Kahana, v'chi odem oise ma'oisav an poros, does a person waste his money? The word an poros means hefsid mamon. What's the point? If you were to seal a hole using Bitzas Hagir, which Rabbi Nechemya reported as saying in the source, and it's that the Bitzas Hagir is used for what Rabbi Ami explained for sealing the Andifa, the hole, the lower hole, you know what would happen? The wine that's stored in the jug would dissolve that Bitzas Hagir, and it would he would lose his wine. In other words, he would possession, and it was the wine that he owns, would go to waste. That's what we mean by anporos, the wasting of money. So he would never use Bitzas Hagir for sealing the lower hole on a jug. Elo Omar Rav Kahana, Shinsos. Rabbi Nechemya made reference to the use of Bitzas Hagir, and that's for what Rabbi Nechemya said in the Mishnah was Andifi. What is Andifi? It's Shinsos. Shinsos are the, we'll call the bulging marks on the side of a vessel used for measuring. Rashi says that on the side here, Shinsos, Simonim, signs, Simonim, Klicheris, Godol, Vieshbo, Blitos, the large earthen or clay vessel has protrusions along its side, Kimin Egoizim Ketanim, like little nuts running down the outside of the vessel, Ad Kan Lisayim, which each mark as you would go up on the side of the vessel would indicate another measure of liquid in there, or of substance that's stored in the vessel. Vesodin Oisoi Besid Kideshu Livonos Vinikoros. These protrusions, these marks on the side of the clay vessel would then be smeared with sid, with this lime, which was a white substance, and making them stand out more clearly. So the amount of sid that would be chayev, would mechayev someone hold someone guilty of carrying it out? What's the quantity of sid? So according to Rabbi Nechemiah, he said andifi, and the Rav Kana explains that's the protrusions. So it's enough sid to coat one of these protrusions on the side of a clay vessel. And each protrusion, as we mentioned, was simply a reference to the amount contained in the vessel up till that point. The Gemara continues, Kedisnan, as we see in a Tanaic source, the role of Shinsois. Shinsois hoyu behin. Adkan lepar, adkan leayil, adkan lekeves. The Beis HaMikdash involved the offering of meal offerings, and along with the meal offerings, wine would be offered. So the vessel that held that contained the wine was a vessel holding a hin. A hin is 12 units, and for a cow offering a par, a chatsi hahin was of wine was used, and for a ram offering a third of a hin, and for a sheep offering a quarter of a hin. And that's what is being referred to over here. These protrusions on the side of the vessel in the Beis HaMikdash is indicating how much of the liquid was needed for the respective sacrifices. The Gemara continues, V'iboy esema, my andifi, another pshat to what andifi is, apusa, the forehead, where one would use the bitzis hagir for reddening, again, for improving complexion of one's forehead. There was a person from Golil that came to Bavel. The Omrule Kum Droshlanu B'maisim Erkova. They invited him to hold forth to lecture on the issue of the Maisim Erkova. Maisim Erkova is literally the chariot or the throne of the Almighty. And this is an area of extreme holiness, if you will. We would relegate it to the realm of Kabbalah, of the mystical or the secret realm of Torah. And he was invited, this fellow from Goliel, who came to Bava, was invited to lecture publicly on the topic. Omelahu, Edrosh Lehu, Kededorash, Rabbi Nechemiah Lechavrei. I will lecture to you like Rabbi Nechemiah lectured to his colleague. Venafko ar isa min koisel, a tzira, a hornet, came forth from a wall, umachte bandifi umis, and stung him on his andifi. Here we have the word andifi, a reference to his forehead. And he died. Vyamrule min dile dole, he brought it on himself. In other words, this realm of Torah is a secret realm, not something that one should talk about or lecture about it in public. And the heavenly involvement was such that he was prevented by holding forth on it by the emergence of this hornet that stung him, thereby killing him and preventing him from lecturing. But for our purposes, the reason this little incident is brought in was to show that the term andifi is associated with the forehead. So, in looking over the Gemara, we saw four diamonds, each one giving an explanation, or an attempted explanation, as to what andifi of Rabbi Nechemiah was in the Mishnah in the context of seed, of an amount of seed that would result in a Shabbos violation. Continuing now in the Mishnah, we more substances and the amount that results in a chiyuv Shabbos. Adoma is dirt, earth. Kechosem hamartzufin, divrei Rabbi Yakiva. Martzufin are large sacks that people carried transported wares in boats, and when they were filled, so people would seal them shut using sealing substance. That's the reference here to the Adoma. So it's the amount of Chosim Hamartzufim, the seal that's on these bags. The Chomim Omrim Kechosim HaIgros, the amount for sealing letters. One would seal letters, making sure that no one else would read them other than the person for whom they were intended. Zevel V'chol Hadak, fertilizer, material, and fine dirt. Kedei Lezabel Kelach Shokruv, enough to fertilize a kelach, a shoot of kruv. Kruv is a type of vegetation. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rechomim Omrim, Kedei Lezabel Kresha, the amount to fertilize a Kresha. Rashi makes reference to these shiurim and says that the Kresha is something that is smaller than a kruv. So it's a lesser quantity. Chol Hagas, thick dirt, Kedei Litain Al Mlo Kaf Sid, enough to put on a painter's trowel. Kona, a reed, Kedei Lasos Kumus, enough to make a quill from. Ve'im Hoya Ova Omerusos, if the Kona was thick, so it's not suitable for using as a pen, or it's merusos, or it's shredded, Kedei Levashel Bo Beitzo Kalo Shebebeitzim, enough reed material to serve as a fuel for boiling up a beitza, an egg, a beitza kala, literally a light egg, and we'll see more about this later in the Gemara. Trufa unisuna bilfis. When we speak about the cooking up of the egg, it's an egg that's beaten and poured into a pan. The Gemara. Al malo kaf sid tana kedei litain al pi kaf shel sayodin. Enough of this substance, we saw in the Mishnah, the chol hagas, enough to place on the kaf shel sayodin. That's the trowel of people who are involved in this activity of whitewashing, of applying sid. So it's a utensil, a vessel that these artisans used. Man Tana the Chol Mali Lisid, which Tana would say that Chol, which was the subject of the Mishnah, is something that's beneficial in the making of or the preparing of Sid. Omar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda is the first of two opinions, that's why we've underlined him and called him number one. Rav Chisda says Rav Yehuda he, the association with Chol as being beneficial for Sid is, according to Rav Yehuda, the Sanya, the source that appears here deals with the prohibition or prohibitions concerned with the building and preparation of houses as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, there are different signs of mourning that we practice to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And one of those practices is reflected here. Lo yosud odom es beiso besid. One should not whitewash the walls of his house with sid. Elohim came irev boteven ochol, unless he mixes in the sid, straw or dirt. The Rashi points out that by mixing the straw or chol in, it will reduce the whiteness level, and hence preserving the mourning element that we are interested in achieving. Rabbi Omer, teven muter, chol osur, mitnei shu traksid. It's muter to mix in teven, but it's osur to mix in chol. Why? Because by mixing chol, the dirt, into the sid, you're making it into traksid. Rashi says, sid chazok umiskashi yusim mishim lo irev bo. Makes it into a very strong type of sid, which hardens it more so than had you not mixed it in. So that according to Rav Chisda, you can see that chol is beneficial for the seed, and that's why the Mishnah says that choil is measured in terms of the amount that one would mix in the making of seed, enough to put on the trowel, that the device used by the seed artisans. Rava Omar, afilu temo rabbanan. Even the rabbanan would say that the choil is ma'alid lin seed. Kilkulo zehu tikuno. Let's look at Rashi. Kilkulo zehu tikuno di lav de mekalkilei umashchiro. If not for the fact that the choil darkens the seed, and it's a ruins it in terms of its color value, if not for that, lo hoya mishteri, it wouldn't have been allowed. Hilkoch. Al korchuch ha dekashile, that which is negative, is beneficial, is a ruination of the seed, namely that it gets darkened. Mal yusa hi legabe u misharinon be, that is the very point that makes it beneficial for it. The fact that because of the chol you can now use the seed, so. It's true, it darkens it. That's the kilkul. But it's also its takona. It makes it, it enables you to use it. Therefore, we use the choil sid relationship as a standard for the amount that one would be chayev for on Shabbos. So that's Rava's approach, that our Mishnah, which measures choil in terms of your adding it to the sid, is something that even the Rabbanan could author. Kona kedei lasas kumus. Kona is a reed, and a kumus is a quill for writing. Tana kumus hamagia lekishrei etzbosav. The size of a kumus that would be one would be chayev for on Shabbos, for Hoytzah B'Shabbos, would be one that gets to Kishrei Etzba'osav. Boy Rav Ashi. When we speak about Kishrei Etzba'osav, it's a reference to finger joints. Kesher Elyon or Kesher Atachton. Which finger joint? Is it the uppermost finger joint, the part that connects the fingers to the hand? Or is it one of the finger joints themselves? So that the kumus would be, in that case, shorter. Teku, that remains unresolved. Vimhoya ova v'chule. The Mishnah mentioned if the reed was thick, so it wouldn't be suitable for a pen. So it's then the amount of kona of reed material is for chiyuv Shabbos is evaluated in terms of the preparation of an egg. Tana trufa b'shemen v'nesuna b'ilfis. The Mishnah had said trufa. Unasuna be'ilfis. Here the Brisa explains trufa means it's beaten together with oil and then poured into a pan. And the presence of the oil mixed with the egg actually makes it get cooked faster. The Gemara continues. Omar le mor brei d'ravino le brei. Mor brei d'ravino says to his son, Mi shmia loch beitza kala mai hi. Have you heard anything about what a beitza kala is? The term beitza kala, we saw in the Mishnah, it said, kidei, the Mishnah said the amount of thick reed that would serve as a fuel for the cooking up of a beitza kala. So we want to know, the father asked his son, do you have any information as to what a beitza kala is? In order to find where beitza kala appears in the Mishnah, we've provided a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can skim up to see the reference earlier to beitza kala. The Gemara answers, Omar lei, so the son answers his father, Biasa de tziltzala. It's the egg of a tziltzala bird. Mai taimo mishum de zutra. is the reason that it's evaluated in terms of a tzitzit, because it's a small egg. Emo de tzifra sa, why not say the amount of reed, a thick reed, to cook up a even a smaller egg, that of a tzifra sa egg. Ishtik amar lei midi shmielach b'ha. So after remaining silent, so he's then asked, did you hear anything about this? Amar lei, so he answers, hachi amar av sheshes, beitzes tarnegolas. So this is, will in effect, the second pshat in the attempt to discover what Beitza Kala is. So he says that it's a chicken egg. V'amayko lo Beitza Kala, why is it called the light egg? After all, a chicken egg is much larger than these other eggs. So the Gemara answers, Shiru Chachamim, the Chachamim have evaluated, Ein locha Beitza Kala levashel yosumi Beitza Tarnagolas, the fastest cooking of all eggs is a chicken's egg. And that's why it's called the light egg. Light meaning the haste, light in terms of quickness, like we say, light of foot, speedily cooked. Umay shnaw, the Gemara asks, what is different here? Kol shuri Shabbos kugeres v'ocha kebeitza. It would seem that here we're evaluating it in terms of the amount of wood used to cook up an egg. Now, an egg has a quantity, so we call it an egg's quantity of egg. When we know in all other food areas of Shabbos, the quantity given is in terms of a dried fig, which is something which is actually less. So why here do we seem to be evaluating the amount of reed material for cooking an egg, which is also a specific quantity, when we know that with regard to food matters, the quantity given is a krogeres. So reading the question again, umay shno kol shuri Shabbos krogeres v'hocha kebeitza, and here it's in terms of an egg quantity. Amalei hachi amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman explained krogeres mi beitza kala, the amount of egg equaling a dried fig. What kind of egg? A chicken's egg. So it's the amount of reed, of thick reed material that would result in a chiyuv Shabbos is the amount that of thick reed that would serve as a fuel for cooking up a dried fig quantity of chicken egg. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.